disappeared into the Atlantic. The storm knocked out the wastewater treatment plant on Virginia Key, forcing the city to dump hundreds of millions of gallons of raw sewage into Biscayne Bay. Tampons and condoms littered the beaches, and the stench of human excrement stoked fears of cholera. More than 300 people died, many of them swept away by the surging waters that submerged much of Miami Beach and Fort Lauderdale. 13 people were killed in traffic accidents as they scrambled to escape the city after the news spread, falsely it turned out, that one of the nuclear reactors at Turkey Point, an aging power plant 24 miles south of Miami, had been heavily damaged by the surge and had sent a radioactive cloud floating over the city. The president, of course, said that Miami would be back, that Americans did not give up, that the city would be rebuilt better and stronger than it had been before. But it was clear to those not fooling themselves that this storm was the beginning of the end of Miami as a booming 21st century city. All big hurricanes are disastrous, but this one was unexpectedly bad. With sea levels more than a foot higher than they'd been at the dawn of the century, much of South Florida was wet and vulnerable even before the storm hit. Because of the higher water, the storm surge pushed deeper into the region than anyone had imagined it could, flowing up drainage canals and flooding homes and strip malls several miles from the coast. Despite newly elevated runways, Miami International Airport was shut down for 10 days. Salt water shorted out underground electrical wiring, leaving parts of Miami-Dade County dark for weeks and contaminated municipal drinking water wells, leaving thousands of displaced people scrambling for bottled water that was airdropped by the National Guard. In soggy neighborhoods, mosquitoes carrying Zika and dengue fever viruses hatched. Injecting male mosquitoes with the Wolbachia bacteria, which public health officials had once hoped would inhibit the mosquitoes' ability to transmit the viruses, had failed when the Aedes aegypti mosquitoes that carried the diseases developed immunity to the bacteria. In Homestead, a low-lying working-class city in southern Miami-Dade County that had been flattened by Hurricane Andrew in 1992, thousands of abandoned homes were bulldozed because they were deemed a public health hazard. In Miami Shores, developers approached city officials with proposals to buy out entire blocks of waterlogged apartments, then dredge the streets and turn them into canals lined with houseboats. But financing for these projects never materialized. Before the storm hit, damage from rising seas had already pushed city and county budgets to the brink. State and federal money was scarce too, in part because Miami was seen by many Americans as a rich, self-indulgent city that had ignored decades of warnings about building too close to the water. Attempts had been made to armor the shore with seawalls and elevate buildings, but only a small percentage of the richest property owners took protective action. The beaches were mostly gone, too. The feds decided they couldn't afford to spend $100 million every few years to pump in fresh sand, and without replenishment, the even higher tides carried the beaches away. By the late 2020s, the only beaches that remained were privately maintained oases of sand in front of expensive hotels. The hurricane took care of those, leaving the hotels and condo towers perched on limestone crags. Tourists disappeared. After the hurricane, the city became a mecca for slumlords, spiritual healers, and lawyers. In the parts of the country that were still inhabitable, only the wealthiest could afford to insure their homes. Mortgages were nearly impossible to get, mostly because banks didn't believe the homes would be there in 30 years. Still, the waters kept rising, nearly a foot each decade. Each big storm devoured more of the coastline, pushing the water deeper and deeper into the city. The skyscrapers that had gone up during the boom years were gradually abandoned and used as staging grounds for drug runners and exotic animal traffickers. Crocodiles nested in the ruins of the Frost Museum of Science. Historians dryly noted that the namesake of the museum, billionaire Philip Frost, had been a climate change skeptic. Still, the waters kept rising. By the end of the 21st century, Miami became something else entirely. A popular diving spot where people could swim among sharks